وبارك وأنعم على سيدنا وحبيبنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. عن أنس رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبارك وأنعم على سيدنا وحبيبنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. عن أنس رضي الله عنه قال قال وبارك وأنعم على سيدنا وحبيبنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. عن أنس رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أحب أن يبسط له في رزقه وينسأ له في أثره فليصل رحمه. In the chapter that we were talking about, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the importance of joining, of being nice to our parents and fulfilling the rights of parents, respecting the parents and fulfilling all of our responsibilities towards our parents during their life and after their death. And as we heard in the hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, that one of the responsibilities of children towards their parents is to be nice to their relatives. This is another very important subject which we really need to talk about, and there are some very important hadith about this subject, about joining the relationship. Nowadays especially, and especially in the society that we live in many cases relatives mean nothing. Hardly people know all of their uncles and aunts. And going beyond uncle and aunt, we don't know nothing about that. Relatives and friends are considered the same. And in fact, in many cases, friends are given priorities over relatives, whereas ahadith are telling us the priority is to the relatives, not to friends. Unfortunately, not even this, even sometimes the priority comes of the priority of friends comes over the our parents. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he mentioned the signs of the Day of Judgment, he said one of the signs of the Day of Judgment is that children will be nice to their friends, will fulfill the rights of their friends, and they will misbehave with their parents. And this is exactly what we see nowadays. For friends, we do a lot of things. And we sacrifice also a lot for our friends. If they need help, we will make sure we are there for their help, even if our parents don't want us to be there. And if our parents need some help, and friends are saying, you know, we have a game, you must be there. Now, the friends don't want us to be with our parents, and therefore we are not going to be with our parents. So friends are always taking priorities. And if this is the situation with parents, so imagine what is the situation with relatives. So we are not giving any importance to relatives, whereas Sharia is giving a lot of importance to our relatives, and especially since this relationship is through our parents, our brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, grandparents, all of these relationships are through our parents. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have emphasized a lot in his ahadith about joining the relationship with all of our relatives. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in one of his ahadith, "Man ahabba an yubsata lahu fi rizqi." Whoever wishes to have a good living in this world, have enough sustenance in this life, whoever would like to earn a lot of money in this world, يُبْسَطَ لَهُ فِي رِزْقِهِ. And this is something that many people want. In fact, I think many is a wrong word for it. Everyone wants. إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ. Out of millions you might find one who doesn't care too much about it. Otherwise, everyone is running after, I need more dollars. I need more money. I need more food. I need better home. And every step of the life is going towards collecting pennies and dollars. There was a king who ruled the whole world. There were few kings in the history of the world who were able to rule the whole world at that time. When that king died, his will was very amazing will that you never see it anywhere else. His will was that when you bury me and you prepare my janaza, keep my hands out. This was his will. That when you take my janaza, keep both of my hands out of my janaza. You know, normally you wrap them inside the clothes, in the janaza. He said, no, don't do that for me. Keep my hands out. So people asked him, why do you want your hands out? He said, I want all the people to know, I want everyone to know, that even after ruling the whole world, I'm going empty-handed. See my hands? They are empty now. And I have nothing. So we can never rule the whole world. And we can never grab everything that's in the world. But still we keep on trying. Let me have more, little more, little more. And sometimes the situation gets so amazing that you can't even imagine. You feel this person tomorrow might die, he's so old, and today he's looking for a few more dollars. And Of course, this is love for wealth is in the nature of a human being. But Rasulul Islam wants us to limit this and just get whatever we need. That's it. We don't have to run after everything that's over there. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Man ahabba an yubsata lahu fi rizqi." Whoever wants to have good living, whoever wants Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open the doors of rizq, of sustenance for him in this life, then what should he do? Work 3 shift? Keep on selling ice cream in the morning and then go to work in the evening and then go to the store in the night time? Is this what he's supposed to do? Then work in the gas station and work in the store and wherever you can get some dollars. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us something different. And he's making this life very easy for us. He says, if you want to have good living, فَلْيَصِلْ رَحِمَةً, join the relationship. Allah, the King of the universe, will open His doors of rizq for you. Will open the doors of the sustenance for you. You will never starve to death. Your needs will always be fulfilled. Your needs will not be stuck. This is because of joining the relationship. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, "Ar-rahimu mu'allaqatun bil-arsh." On the day of judgment, as everyone will have his good and bad deeds, people will see in the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something is standing there. Something is hanging there. People will look, what is that? And that will be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give everything a form, a body in that life. And that will be the shape of the relationship. We don't see here relationship just like deeds. I have done something and it's gone. It's in the air. Same thing, relationship will have a physical form in that life. In the hereafter. Just like we see in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that death, have anyone seen death? We see people dying. But what is death? That means soul separating from the body. No one has seen the death. But on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give death a physical being, will give it a body that we can see. And that will be, that will come on the day of judgment in the form of a goat, in the form of a lamb. And then as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, when all the people who are supposed to go to Jannah will go to Jannah, and all the people who are supposed to go to hellfire will go to hellfire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then will call all of them. Everyone in the Jannah, look here. And everyone in the hellfire, look over here. So everyone will look. What's there? They will see, everyone will see a lamb standing over there. Why Allah wants everyone to look at this lamb? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell all the people that this lamb is the death. And then He will kill that lamb. Which means the death is gone. No more death in the world. And imagine, here we die, but over there the death will die. Who will die? The death will die. This simply means no one will die anymore. The death will die. So if the death will die, then no one will die. Then death cannot get to any person because death is dead. So no one will die anymore. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us that even joining the relationship, this relationship itself, that we are supposed to join in this life will have a being, a physical being, a form. And it will be holding to the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it will say to Allah, Ya Allah, Man wasalani wasalahu Allah, wa man qata'ani qata'ahu Allah. The relationship will say, whoever was joining me in that life, Ya Allah, be nice to him. And whoever broke me in that world, Ya Allah, break him and throw him in the hellfire. This is what the relationship will say. And this tells us how important it is for us, in order to get the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment, that we join our relationship with all the relatives. We be nice to all of our relatives, cousins, uncles, aunts, from mother's side, from father's side, grandparents. All of these people are very important in our life, and they play a big role in us, for us to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And especially for those who are looking for dollars and for money, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that if you want Allah to open the door of the sustenance for you, of the door of the risk for you, the door of the wealth for you, then join the relationship. But sometimes we don't even have an understanding, a proper understanding of what joining the relationship means. And this is a very important subject, that sometimes we talk about something and we don't know what that thing is. We have totally different idea of it. We don't even know the reality of that thing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarifies this point in the hadith. He says, لَيْسَ الْوَاصِلُ بِالْمُكَافِئِ وَلَكِنَّ الْوَاصِلَ الَّذِي إِذَا قُطِعَتْ رَحِمَهُ وَصَلَهَا. We be nice to our relatives, and then we feel, you know, I'm so nice to them. Now one of our relatives does something wrong to us, I'm not going to go to his home again. I will never see his face again. You curse at them. You talk against them. You don't want to see them no more. Whereas, I always thought, oh, I'm a great man. I'm joining the relationship. Remember, joining the relationship does not mean that if they are nice, then I will be nice too. And if they do something, then I will treat them even worse than that. This is not what joining the relationship means. Because even non-Muslims are like that. Even kuffar, they are like that. That if people are nice to them, they are nice to those people. That's every person. And in every society, people are nice to their relatives. They respect their relatives. They like their relatives. You will hear even non-Muslims saying, oh, this is my uncle. And they're proud of him. So all the reward that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have mentioned of joining the relationship, is it only about that much? That okay, if they are nice to us, then we be nice to them? No. There is something much more than this. And this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have explained in this hadith. لَيْسَ الْوَاصِلُ بِالْمُكَافِئِ. Those relatives who are being nice to you, and you be nice to them, this is not what joining the relationship means. Treating them equally as they treat you is not what joining the relationship means. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this hadith, which is in Bukhari, that joining the relationship means, إِذَا قُطِعَتْ رَحِمَهُ وَصَلَهَا. Once people break the relationship with this person, he still continues to be nice to them. When people misbehave with us, when our relatives try to hurt us, when our relatives, they talk against us, yet we say, no, Islam tells me to be nice to them, and since they are my relatives, I'm not going to say anything against them. I will still continue visiting them and be nice to them as I'm supposed to be. This reminds me of the great muhaddis, in fact the greatest muhaddis my eyes have ever seen in this life, Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi, the author of Fadail al-Amal. It is about him that one of his uncles did not like him. But whenever he used to go to that town, to his hometown where his uncle was, he would always go and visit that uncle. And as he would go to his uncle's home, his uncle will never even look at him, will not even shake hands with him, will turn his face away. He would go there, sit for 5 minutes, no one wants to talk to him, no one wants to look at him. He knocks at the door, gets in, goes and sits over there, says salam alaikum, gets up and goes back. So once he went there, someone else was with him. That person told him that don't go to that uncle. He always talks against you and he doesn't like you, so don't go there. He said, no, I won't go there. And that person tried his best to stop him from going there and he said, no, I must go. And he went there. He went there, salam alaikum, no one wants to reply. His uncle is sitting there, he turned his face away. That I don't even want to look at your face. He sat over there for a few minutes. Now he got up. Assalamu alaikum. I'm going. And no one replied. He got up and went back. The person who was with him told him, do you think you're still going to go back to him? Didn't I tell you don't go there? And he says, if I come to this town again, I will go to him again. Because this is what he did, but my responsibility is to do what you have just seen me doing. This is my responsibility. And I can't neglect my responsibility because of what he is doing. I have to continue doing what I'm supposed to do. And his deed is not going to stop me from neglecting my responsibilities. This is what joining the relationship means. And the result of it, after some time, that same person, his uncle, came and told him, I would like to do bay'ah on your hands. Now he wants to take him as his teacher and as his sheikh. The same person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Quran al-Kareem, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ. Evil and good are never equal. The evil and good can never be similar. They cannot never be same. Always good is good and bad is bad. This is a rule that we have to remember in our life. That good is always good. And good will always bring some good results. And bad is always bad. Bad will not bring good results. If someone is doing something bad, someone is cursing, and now you get upset and you start cursing, what is happening? If there is a fire, if you see fire at your home, you go over there, you get upset, what you would do? Throw some gas over there? It's going to put more fire there. Or you get upset and you see a big piece of wood, you pick up the piece of wood and you hit the hole, it's going to increase the fire. The wood is going to get burned through now and have more fire there. So the best thing is what? Get the water. Get something to get the fire extinguisher. Get something that will extinguish the fire. This is exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us. وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ. Good and bad are never equal. اِتْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. When someone does something wrong to you, always be nice to that person. Do something good to that person. What will be the result? فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. That person who have animosity against you, who's your worst enemy, will become your best friend. وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. He will become your best friend. A person hates you. A person dislikes you. He curses at you. You look at your pocket, I have a nice bottle of perfume. It's real nice perfume. And you tell him, okay, here, take this. That person will have to think, what's wrong with this man? I'm cursing at him, and he gave me a bottle of a perfume. This person will have to think. At least will stop cursing at that point. And even if he will say two more words over there, he will go back and think. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. But if you add more fuel to it, you curse back at that person, then what? Then of course he's going to curse more at you. And then you will get into a fight. Then at the end you will end up hurting each other and later on backbiting each other. Of course, this is the general rule. Always there are exceptions. There are always, unfortunately, there are even bad people in the world, as bad as if you give them something, they still talk more against you. But still, that does not mean we have to add more fuel to that fire. Never add the fuel to fire. Never try to increase the problems that you have. Always try to be nice. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us, وَلَكِنَّ الْوَاصِلَ الَّذِي إِذَا قُطِعَتْ رَحِمُهُ وَصَلَهَا. The one who is joining the relationship according to Sharia is a person that when people break the relationship with him, he goes and tries to be nice to those people. He tries to help those people. Whenever you see those people in hardship, you go and help those people. This is the only reason Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when his uncle Abu Lahab was always opposing him. It was his uncle. That was his uncle. Abu Lahab, who was always opposing him. And whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will talk to people about Islam, Abu Lahab will go there and will tell those people, oh, this is my nephew, this is insane, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He would pull Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam away, physically. He will pull Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam away, and then he would tell those people, don't even listen to him, don't worry about him. Sometimes people even have seen Abu Lahab pushing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asking him, just get out of here, go away from here, don't talk to this person. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not say a word, because that is his uncle. Abu Jahl was one of the, normally when we say who was the worst enemy of Islam, right away we'll say Abu Jahl. He was the leader of the Kuffar of Quraysh. But Abu Jahl would never dare to do all of what Abu Lahab did. Because Abu Jahl was not the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now, if he would come and push Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of course, we know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not push him back. He's not going to do that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not curse at him. But what do you think he would have done? What do you think he would have done? At least Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have raised his hands and said, Ya Allah, destroy Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl was afraid of that also. He did not want to do something face to face to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will make a dua against him and he will be destroyed right there. Abu Lahab was not afraid of that. He knew that this is my nephew, and he knew that he is not going to make a dua against me. Once, for us to know the difference between Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab, once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was at the Haram,
Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the haram around the Kaaba, and all the leaders of Quraysh were there. A man came, and that man went to the leaders of Quraysh and he said, "I need some help from you people. What help do you need from us?" That man said, "Abu Jahl have taken something from me, he borrowed some money from me long time back. And he promised to return it in a short time, but he never returned it. And now whenever I ask him for it, he never even talks to me and he doesn't want to return my money back to me." So Abu Jahl doesn't want to return my money back to me. "So I need your help to go to Abu Jahl. I need some people to go and talk to Abu Jahl so that he can return my money back to me." Of course, all of these people are the friends of Abu Jahl, so they don't want to talk to Abu Jahl about it. So they started making fun of this person and laughing at this person. And they said to him, "You know, just forget about your money." One of those people, just to make fun of him, he said, he pointed towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was making the salah far away from them. He said, "You know, see that man over there?" He said, "Yeah." "Go to that man and tell that man that you need some help against Abu Jahl." And imagine, how can Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talk to Abu Jahl? Abu Jahl is the worst enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So even if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if Abu Jahl wanted to give him the money, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would talk to him about it, he would never give it to him. "Why did you bring this man? If this man would talk to me, I would never give the money to him." So this is why he made, to make fun of that person, he sent him to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But this was, of course, a needy person, and a needy person will always try anything. So he thought, "Okay, if that man can help me, let me go and talk to him." So he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finished doing the salah, he said, "Muhammad, please, I need your help." "What's that?" And he explained the whole situation to him. And all the leaders of Quraysh, the kuffar of Quraysh, are sitting far away and they're watching. Let's see what he's going to say to this man. Let's see what happens next. But to their surprise, this heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying to him, "Did he really take your money?" "Yes." "Okay, come with me. Let's go and talk to him." Amazing. Would Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam really talk to him? So these people started following them and they said, "Let's go, let's see what happens." And now everyone is walking behind them. Everyone is going after them. "Let's see what happens." And really, they saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taking that man to Abu Jahl's home. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knocked at the door. Abu Jahl came and opened the door. Now everyone is waiting. All of those people of Quraysh and the leaders of Quraysh, they're waiting. Let's see how Abu Jahl curses him now. But when Abu Jahl opened the door, he asked, "Yes, Muhammad, what do you want?" He said, "Did you take any money from this person? Did you borrow money from this man?" "Yes." "How come you're not returning it to him?" "Come on, right away. I want you to go and bring the money and give it to him." And all the leaders are standing there watching. What's going on? Today Muhammad is talking like this to Abu Jahl. To our king, to our ruler. We can't even imagine. We can't. We don't believe ourselves seeing the situation. And Abu Jahl goes in, brings the money, and gives it to that man. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to that man, "Okay, you got your money, go back." And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went back to the haram. So now these leaders of Quraysh, they went and they knocked at the door. Abu Jahl, come out. Yeah, what's wrong? How come you gave him the money? How come Muhammad talked to you like this and you didn't say nothing back to him? He said, you people don't know what you are saying. You don't know what I was, the situation I was in. When Rasulullah, when Muhammad came and talked to me, of course he would never say Rasulullah because he did not believe in him. He said, when Muhammad came and talked to me, I saw a lion sitting on his head. Something was like a lion with the mouth open sitting on his head. I knew if I won't pay this man, the lion is going to beat me up, he is going to finish me. So this is why I gave him the money. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help that made Abu Jahl look like something is sitting on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's head. A beast is sitting over there that's about to attack Abu Jahl. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would never talk like this to his uncle to Abu Lahab, because that he was his uncle. So this is what joining the relationship means. That إِذَا قُطِعَتْ رَحِمُهُ وَصَلَهَا. Joining the relationship means when a person breaks the relationship with us, we still join the relationship and we don't misbehave with them and mistreat those people the way they are doing it with us. Once a person, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was traveling, and a man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his way. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was traveling, and a man came and he stopped Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was a villager. Of course, villagers, this is, they're very straightforward, and when they need something, they just go for it. So he went and he said, Ya Rasulullah, أخبرني بعمل يدخلني الجنة ويباعدني من النار. He asked a very amazing question. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is on his way. He's traveling. And this man stops him. This man stops Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and then says, Ya Rasulullah, tell me something that will get me to Jannah and yudkhiluni al-Jannah. I need something that will take me to the Jannah and drive me away from the hellfire. Now, if someone will ask us this question, what do you think we will reply? That tell me something that will take me to the Jannah and keep me away from the hellfire. We will say, follow Islam, follow Quran, follow Hadith. This is not a short answer we can give. There is not one thing that I can say that will take you to Jannah. There are a lot of things in our deen that you have to do. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to that man, if you want something like this, then I would tell you four things to do. If you would do four things, you will get to Jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep you away from the hellfire. What are those four things? He said, تَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. You worship Allah and never associate any partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the first thing. That you be believer and be Muslim and never have any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, تُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ. Make sure you perform the salah properly and you perfectly perform the salah, which means in proper timings and the way it's supposed to be performed. Number three, وَتُؤْتِي الزَّكَاةِ. Keep on paying the zakah. Never miss paying the zakah. And number four, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَتَصِلُ الرَّحِمِ. And join the relationship. Now imagine, he's mentioning Tawheed, never do the shirk, Salah, Zakah, with these very important orders of Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is adding one more thing there, and that is, Tasilur Rahim, that you join the relationship. which simply means joining the relationship, is such a great reward. If a person would do it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through that will make him, will give him hidayah to do a lot of other good deeds, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive many of his sins because of joining the relationship. So this is one of the very important orders of Islam, that we be nice to all of our relatives. We take care of our relatives. They don't have to come to us and explain their situations to us. We have to go to them. We must go to them and find out their situations, if they are in need, if they need anything, if they need any help. And even if they don't need anything, at least periodically, every time, we should go and ask them, how are you doing? Everything is okay. Visit them. Send some gift to them. Whatever. Somehow you keep the relationship. So at least there is a way that the relationship is joined. This is our duty. This is fard on every Muslim. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.